All right, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It is quarter to five and we are resumed. So, Mr. Boswell, I'm with you, I believe. You were going to just advise as to the matters we referred to before the break. Do we want to deal with the environmental master plan matters first? Or
I'll pick up the noise first, if I may. So, it hasn't... We understand the question to be... What was the methodological approach that sat behind the way that the noise references are made in the optioneering and the option route selection report? That answering that isn't as straightforward as it might sound. And so, having just spent another 15 or so minutes looking at that, we are going to, I'm afraid, need more time to respond to that. And I think we'll have to address that in our response at deadline three. But can I just be clear that the question is around the methodology that was followed to produce that the references to noise in that report?
Yes, so we're talking about, so it's the route, let me get the right names so that I make sure we're referring to the right ones. So we have a route selection report, which is at 051, and a route scheme assessment report, which is app 050. So those two documents are before me, and I've looked at those documents, and yep. I understand how you've arrived at your route selection according to yourself. So the questions that are being asked relate to, okay, how did 7A and 7B, how do they compare? So what I'm really wanting to understand is, yes, effectively the methodology as to how the noise levels at Marizan Vos are arrived at as being better under route, I'm going to say southern, in comparison to the northern, which is the question being asked.
Okay.
Now I'm going to, one of the things I'm going to ask you specifically to provide is a slightly more detailed, and I'm sure you will have one, a slightly more detailed drawing of the routes in this area, because I have obviously within those reports we have a sort of schematic, but I'm being referred to the number of fields which would have been affected had the northern route been chosen, and if I've missed it I apologise, but I can't find where I can find that level of detail, and I suspect it's come in the earlier consultation processes. So I think it's all documents that you will already have. I hope I'm not asking you to do too much more work, it's just simply those documents that you would already have so that I can be clear what is being spoken about from the representatives.
Okay, I think that is clear. Should we move on to the boundaries issue?
Yes, thank you.
So Mr. Cullen is going to take us through that, but just to be fair to him, he is not the landscape person and we don't have one of the landscape specialists here. He has just been on the phone to one of the landscape specialists, but I just would like you to bear that in mind as he takes you through it, depending on how many supplemental questions may or may not come in.
Yeah, thanks, Madam Administrator. Ross Cullen for Highways England. Yeah, so if I can, sorry, can I grab the mouse if that's okay? Great, thanks. If I just, yeah, just give a summary of the... is the mouse working? Sorry, just get the mouse to work. Yeah. The summary of the principle through here. I mean, so obviously the road is in a cutting, and with the landscaping proposals, within that cutting are a mix of a scrub and woodland planting, which is all part of the screening mitigation for the receptors in this area, including Nancarrow Farm. We've at the top of the cutting we've got. We've got a 3 meter high noise fencing. As Mr. Chamberlain alluded to earlier, the quite a lot of thought was given to this as to why we a three meter high Cornish hedge. It has a significant land take, as we say, because basically the footprint is it's almost that the height is equal to the width. So you'd have at least a 3 meter footprint at the base. So for that reason and the increased land take that goes with that, we went for a timber noise fence, and our landscape architect was happy with that approach and how that fitted into the landscape, and that's what's been assessed in our environmental statement. So we've got the three meter noise fence. This continues right through this section, so with the same principle within the cut slope of this scrub and woodland planting. And this continues, as we said, right through onto the next plan, if that's okay. If we jump onto the next plan.
As in number 10?
Yes, please, yeah.
Sheet 11.
Oh, sheet, yeah, there we go. Sorry, is that coming up on the...
No, sheet 11.
Yes. So, yeah. There we go. This basically continues right through to the point that Mrs. Chamberlain alluded to earlier, where we actually have tried to, as best we can, retain those existing features and the shed there. And from this point on, then it converts or moves across to a 1.2 metre high Cornish hedge, and then runs. And this continues at the top of the cut in, again, woodland planting within the cut slope, all part of the screening, with this 1.2 metre Cornish hedge that runs along the top of the cut in. Alongside that Cornish hedge, the advantage of the noise fence is that the badger proofing can be attached to that fence. We can't do that with a Cornish hedge, so we have to have a separate badger proof fence that runs in parallel to the Cornish hedge. So through the section of noise barrier, that's a noise barrier with badger-proof netting attached to it, whereas from this section onwards, for the remainder of the section of Thunan Caro Farm, it's a combination of a 1.2 metre Cornish hedge and a standard badger fence. Is that so? That I think that summarises where we were on this side of the scheme through Thunan Caro Farm, and then going back to the triangular bit of land that we talked about earlier. I just to add a bit of detail as well, I think I said, didn't I, that the footprint of the new scheme increases with the dual carriageway compared to the single carriageway. You can also see the vertical alignment that we, the standards that we have to work to, the national standards for the geometry that, for a dual carriageway, are such that it's quite a bit different to the vertical alignment on the existing single carriageway. So you can see that there are significant earthworks with our new vertical alignment. So it's not just the footprint of the dual carriageway itself is increasing from the single carriageway, but it's also the associated earthworks that go with that. It's part of the reason why we are taking land from Mr. Mutton's fields to the north. And then in terms of dropping back to the landscape proposals, unlike on the southern side where it was a combination of Cornish hedge and badger proof fencing, on this side it's a combination of a badger proof fence and a soft hedgerow, which has all been thought through with our landscape architect team in terms of how that fits into the landscape character. I hope that's useful. Yeah.
So, Mr. Mutton, from your point of view, does that assist in understanding what's being proposed?
Yes, thank you. That tells me what they proposed. Yeah, and I can see the reasoning behind it. I'll just request that quality hedging was put up, and not the rubbish stuff they put up last time, and that organic soil would be used. If non-organic soil is put on any of our land, we could lose our organic status. But also I'd like to preserve, just to make this point again, which Steve rose earlier, preserve the topsoil from acquired land for reuse in our thin areas of the farm, if that's at all possible.
Sorry, Steve from Nankara. Just a quick point. Ross mentioned about a 1.2 metre hedge. We were under the impression it was 1.8 metre Cornish hedge. If you could clarify, that'd be great.
Yeah, Ross kind of I was England. It's it can go up to 1.8, but no, in this particular area, like I say, we, from a noise point of view, we've gone for the 3 metre high timber noise fencing. So outside of that section, we would just go back to the standard Cornish hedge height of 1.2, because it's not there actually for noise mitigation at that point. It's more for from a landscape character point of view. As we said, you know, there is the option of, there would have been the option to go for a higher Cornish hedge for noise mitigation purposes, but that came with a wider footprint. So we, at the stage we were at in discussions with Mr. Chamberlain, we agreed that the noise fencing was the way to go to reduce the land take from the farm.
All right, so thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Can I check we are all content so far as Nankaro is concerned, or content that we've covered the matters we need to cover? So, Mr. Boswell, in response to your questions to me before we broke, I had a choice, really, as to how I dealt with the issues around Nankaro and Marans and Vos. It was either that I looked at compulsory acquisition hearing and made it a slightly broader hearing, as we have done, or I had an issue-specific hearing thinking about Marans and Vos as a whole. I decided this was the way to go forward, rightly or wrongly, and I have given more leeway than I may have otherwise have done. But I think I have found it helpful, and I think certainly from the point of view of seeing what movement there has been, that has been helpful in looking at how proposals have been developed. So I think neither side should feel that they are under pressure here. I'm taking what you're both saying and listening to what's being said. In relation to, I've indicated there's going to be some hearing outcomes that I'm going to ask for. So perhaps if I just run through those quickly now in relation to this section, and then we can see if there's anything further. These will be published, so just so you're aware, obviously you're more than happy for you to take notes now, but my intention is these will hopefully go out on Friday. It will be on Monday at the latest that they'll be published on the website. So I'll be asking for a copy of the planning permission relating to the barn from Mr. Mutton by deadline 3, and just to confirm dates of deadlines with you. So deadline 3 is the 24th of April, and deadline 4, which I'll also be referring to, is the 1st of May. In relation to the question that Mr. Boswell asked prior to the adjournment, if there are any specific remaining points in relation to compulsory acquisition that Nankaro has, then I would hope to see those by deadline 3, with responses from Highways England by deadline 4. In relation to the wider questions that I have been asking, I'm going to ask Highways England to supply data to Historic England, HBMCE, and that is in relation to their reference in additional submission 001, and that relates to Nankaro Farmhouse and Chiverton Park, saying that they remain unable to comment in detail on the relative historic environment impacts of the proposed route. And I'm going to ask that to be supplied by deadline 3, and then for Historic England and or Highways England to either comment on the data supplied or to agree to an update of the Statement of Common Ground, so whichever way that works best for both parties, just so that I'm clear that that matter has been taken forward. As I referred to earlier, I would just like a slightly more detailed copy of the route, the proposed northern route. Clearly, I'm not asking for detail of the environmental master plan as we have here, but just slightly more detailed than is within the existing reports that I have before me, which are very much sketch form, just so that I can see within the landscape how the northern route would have sat within the landscape had that been preferred selection. In relation to the route selection, then I'm referring to Table 7.6 of the route assessment report, which is also, I believe, and I haven't double-checked, but I think they're exactly the same table in 7.2 of the route selection report, and it's the table that's then been referred to in Rep 2031 by Mr. Chamberlain. And it's really just checking that back data. So I just want to see, I'm not asking you to produce anything new, just to see how that data came about, where that data came from, really, to give me that table. And then, as I referred to earlier, so in relation to the landscaping, it would be helpful to have establishment dates on planting on the earlier A30 development, that's the Temple to Carblack section, just because we happen to have the same growth rates and positions here. So it will help me to visualise, you know, when are things going to be at particular stages. So that would be helpful. So in relation to the things we've already spoken about, are there any other hearing outcomes that I've forgotten or that anyone feels that should be added in to that? Mr. Boswell?
I think we would quite like to set out in a little bit more detail than you may have in front of you at the moment the kind of the story of the different changes from a compulsory acquisition perspective and how those came about with interaction with Nankaro.
Okay. So are you envisaging that as a sort of a table of meetings, or how?
Well, we've got a table in the draft statement of common ground. I think it's perhaps more a thematic approach which would explain sort of where we started and then the different, just a commentary on the different main changes and how those emerged. I guess we just feel that we'd like an opportunity for you to see that we have been responsive and the ways in which we have been responsive from our perspective.
Okay, is that something that could sit within the Statement of Common Ground, or are you viewing that as being something separate? I'm just thinking from Nankara's point of view, they may wish to comment on your table. So we either have a table or a story, as you say, which they comment on separately, or we try and deal with it within the Statement of Common Ground. I'm not sure which.
I think it would, from our perspective, it would be easier if it was separate.
Okay.
But it would cross over in a set. It would inevitably cross over with the Statement of Common Ground in the sense that, as you'll have seen, the Statement of Common Ground does provide a table of meetings and sort of key correspondence, and necessarily the story, if you want to call it that, emerged through human interaction. That was the human interaction, but I think it's easier for us to set out in an objective way the story is, you know, as it panned out.
And is that something that can be done by deadline 3, or?
Yes,
okay. And then in terms of, from Nankara's point of view, clearly if there are comments that you wish to make on that matter, then that would be a deadline 4 point. Thank you, Mr. Boswell, that sounds helpful. All right, so thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I think that we have done some good work there on that. Can I ask, Mr. Innes, is there anything that I need to be aware of from your perspective in relation to compulsory acquisition?
Insofar as our objections in relation to compulsory acquisition, they're intrinsically linked resolving the technical issues and the legal agreement. Our purpose here was really to reserve our position, but we are equally working with Highways England in relation to those matters as we go alongside the other aspects of the objection. And in essence, at this stage, we're hopeful in reaching agreement on those matters. But given the nature of the compulsory acquisition rights, in terms of the relationship to the wind farm, they are important and integral in terms of potential interference with our cables and the access, and those are matters which obviously we're working through in the technical matters that we've been progressing, and that's where we hope to make progress with the agreement, and that will obviously have a bearing and impact upon the extent to which we'll have any maintained objection in relation to the CPO powers.
Thank you, that's helpful. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, can I ask if there is anyone else who has any matters that they wish to bring forward this evening? No? In that case, it is 5:05, so not quite 6 o'clock and not quite time for a drink, but it will be shortly by the time you get home. So if there's nothing else, I'd like to thank everybody for their time and attendance this evening and for their assistance in this hearing. I think it has been very helpful from my point of view, and I hope it has been from yours. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. The hearing is closed.